To become scholars, we learn to become scholars of the word because, and we need to be honest with ourselves, we have gone through years and years of hearing Bible, being preached to, being taught to, even reading passages that become so casual about it and so passe that we really don't take time to look at it, look into it, look at what it's saying. We just say it, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We say it so often, but then how often have we taken the time to really dissect what this verse is saying? And that's what I was actually, y'all to do this evening. And having said that, anybody want to start us off? Maybe what they came up with, I don't want to deny anybody their opportunity. Anyone?
Well,
Answer.
I agree with you, Patrick, when you say we know that in the verse itself, a lot of people just be stuck on that one verse, but it's more to it, like you said, down to 30. And I see the title because I'm looking at the NIV version, Present Suffering and Future Glory from 18 down to 30. But 28, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. My take on that is, like I was explaining to you, sharing with you rather, earlier, as we're going through our going through, some things I'm sure a lot of us question God. Why? Why, God? Why this happened? Why that happened? And God's telling you, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. The love, that key word love is powerful in itself to explain when people ask God why. It's okay because God knows you're going to ask why because you don't understand. But that's my take from that, Pastor, as far as the particular, as far as 28. I'm reading down to 29
Okay.
and 30. I'm highlighting it.
All right. Anybody else want to come in or share what they, want to bring to the group? Anyone?
Hello, everybody. Just getting
Hey.
on.
Hey, Peach. Hey, everybody.
What's up, nephew? Good seeing you, man.
I think
No
for
one
me,
wants to.
no, I said for me, I think going back to the 26 verses is key because it says in the same, of course, talking about the Spirit helping with our weaknesses. We don't know what we ought to be praying for, right? I think that's key because it says in the same way, which lets me know we got to keep going up, keep going up. So it's almost like you got to read this whole chapter to really get into
Right.
this. But it says for it, man, I don't even want to get into all of it, but it says, but again, in verse 22, it says, we know the whole creation. So it's like some things Paul is speaking, like we supposed to already have some background knowledge on this stuff, type of stuff. For when he says, for we know, I'm just going to get into verse 28. I ain't going, and we, so that's just the implication is that, you already notice, right? Because sometimes it's like we get frustrated, flustered, or whatever. So, all right, let's just chill to a certain extent. For we know that all things are going to work together for us anyway, right? But then it says, for the good of those who are called. But then some people say the called and all that type of stuff. You don't want to emphasize certain words in there. But the fact of the matter is, the part I was just looking at is that we know this stuff. And then Paul, it just reminds me of the scripture when Paul says, I know whom I believe and am persuaded. So it's like certain things that we know or we should know, right? All things working together for the good, right? For those who call, and I'm not getting into, just reading it verbatim, but the fact of the matter is that's what stood out for me is that
Okay.
we shouldn't, this is something that we should know. We should be confident in that. We should have confidence that even regardless of the situation, even as Deacon Poole was talking about, regardless of the situation, we should have that confidence. I think that we know right here is referring to confidence. Confidence in God to, And then we can go forward. I mean, I got more stuff, but it's just like, to me, that was just like one of the key things I wanted to bring out.
Okay. Anyone else?
Well, I wrote down here for that verse that you put down, what does it mean to me?
No, I didn't say what does it mean to you. I
No,
said what does it mean?
okay, what does
Okay.
Romans 8:28 mean? And
Right.
I'm saying for me, what I read, what stand out for me, what it means to me,
Oh,
but I
okay.
know what you wrote, I know exactly what you wrote down, but what I interpret from this is we know that God works along the lines of what I had just came in and heard from the others, help those people with your Christ us Christians who love him. It's people who love him, okay, and do his will. And do his will. Okay, and he's going to work it out. We got to trust and believe that we do. We do have doubt in us. Or me, I do get doubtful at times. And I know that to come back to my faith and know that he's going to work it out. And why
Right.
do that little bit of doubt that I have to mess up all the belief that I have? It don't fully mess up really like that, what I'm trying to get across. But I just shouldn't have the doubt that I do detain. Okay, and I guess that's the and I'm guessing, but I know for sure that's the human part that and it exists in us, that
That's
that's
right.
going to come across.
That's right.
But
That's right.
that's what I got down, and I did have a scripture. I had a couple of scriptures down here, which is on the same lines of Romans 8:28, Galatians 1:15. God said, well, I wrote it in my interpretation, but here we go. Galatians 1:15, y'all. Galatians right next door. Galatians 1:15. Wait a minute, please. I just
Take your
had it.
time. Take your
Okay,
time.
here we go, y'all. 1:15 says, but when it pleased God who separate me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he had already set aside who you're going to be, who knows who you are, you're in before your beginning. You know how it's going to work out. He's the creator of everything, we all know. That's my interpretation for me, what I intake, and
Okay.
that's what I
Yes, sir.
got from it, what I wrote down, people.
Yes,
Thank
sir.
you.
Yes.
Thank
Good.
you.
That's good. That's
Yes,
good.
sir.
Anybody
Yeah.
else? What? Anyone else?
Well, one thing that I like to say is on that 28th verse, it says that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that all good and perfect gifts come from above, which is saying it comes from God. And he allowed his blessings to fall on the just as well as the unjust. When we look at that good, that word good, that's deep, because I was just reading one of my books, and the books go with sayings people say. And one saying people say is, the greater good. Even though it's a good here, it's a greater good, but they both going to end up being good. But it also said the lesser of two evils. And people say that also. But no matter what you do in that scenario, it's still going to be evil. So I say that to say this. When we look at the word good, that end result of just this one verse even is going to tell you that it's going to be something beneficial for that individual, group, or people that's referring to it. It's going to be beneficial spiritually, physically, mentally, however, I don't know, but it's going to be beneficial, meaning it's going to be positive for their growth, positive for their whatever. It's going to be positive. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody? Okay, you may not. Realize it, Deacon Mosley. You and Laurent were pretty much in the same boat, because what you're saying is that you are short. You know this. You know, just like Paul says, I know who I believe, that I'm persuaded. It's not a blind faith. It's not like, oh, I just believe because I believe. No, you believe because you have been persuaded. You've been convinced. You've been convinced, and you got that assurance that this, that God is going to work these things out. You know, I don't want to misquote anybody. Am I right? Am I all right in what I'm saying? Okay. Now, it's funny, and this is why I love us to, and this is why we should come together and look at the word together, because I think that this verse is one of the most misunderstood verses in the scripture. You know, and I say it for this reason. There are a lot of people who believe that whatever they do, and I hope that's not what I heard someone, one of y'all saying, that whatever they do, God's gonna work it out for good. But that's not what this verse is saying. That's not what it's saying. Now, a lot of us are assuming, and I don't like to use that word, but I think it fits for right here. Assuming that because you are saved, because you're a believer, whatever you do is going, God is going to work it out for the good. No, that's not what this verse is saying. No, you know, now, before I come to the crux of how I get to that conclusion, I want to point out something. That in this verse, just this verse, just that 28th verse, do you realize that there are four conditions in that verse that comes with this promise?
Oh, dear.
There are four, right? Just in this verse. There's four things that we need to look at just in this verse alone. First off, it says in author, I like that the NIV states it. Nobody's read this. Who has the King James? Who's looking at the King James?
I haven't.
Read that. Read what it says in King James. Somebody who has the NIV or another translation, read, be prepared to read yours. But read what it says in the King James.
Okay, 8:28 of Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them whom are the called according to his purpose.
Okay. Someone else, what are you reading from?
NIV,
Go ahead.
8:28,
Yes.
and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
Okay. Now, I like that. It's that they're not different. They're not different, but I just like the way this is worded differently. Looking at what it says in 20, it says, in all things, God works for the good. Didn't say all things you do. He said, in whatever you're doing, he's going to work in it. Not blessing your mess, blessing you as you are in your mess. Now, what is the difference? This, we're not being semantical. Look at, and even in the King James, if you dissect it, when he says that we know that all things work together, what does work together mean? Think about this. It could be a mess, okay? It could be a mess, but when God gets done with it. Now, we've often said in the past, yeah, the Lord can bless, but sometimes between when the blessing comes and the messing starts, it can seem hellish. It can seem hellish while you're waiting for the Lord to, you know, to bring you through it. And then we look in some passages of scripture where we have those who have done, you know, terrible things. Now, you know, we can bring up a whole ton of different examples, everything stemming from Judas to Jonah being disobedient, because we do agree that all being, you know, disobedient to God is sin. Everybody, we on the same page with that, right? Okay. Okay. So we need to understand that there are many things we do, because just like a child, we're God's child. And right now, You're strong. You can probably the youngest one here right now is Deacon Smith, but you're strong. You're able to walk steady and walk and all that there. But every now and then you stumble. Even though you're strong, you can stand upright, but you stumble. Whether you trip over something, you didn't notice something in your way, you stumble. And when you stumble, it might not have been for a minute, but every now and then you fall.
Yep.
You fall.
Yep.
But that doesn't take away your strength, doesn't take away any of that. You just stumble. And it's the same thing even for those of us who are in our Christian walk. When we stumble, sometimes we stumble into or out of the bar, we stumble into the bottle. We stumble into a snort. We stumble into
Smoke.
a fornicating situation, an adulterous situation, all of these things. Okay? So what I'm saying is, do you think when God has told you not to do something, he's going to bless that?
Oh no. Mm-mm.
Doesn't mean he's never going to bless you again, just like you as a child. Your parents told you to do something, and when you disobeyed them, yeah, they chastised you, but it didn't turn around and said, okay, get away from me. You're no longer my son. You're no longer my daughter.
Right.
I told you to mop the floor. You didn't do it. Get away from me. Get out of this house.
Oh, wow.
But you got chastised. Okay? Let you know that you've done wrong. You've done wrong for it. And this is what I'm saying. So don't be misled that because you do wrong, because you disobey God, because you sin, he's going to turn your that sin into a blessing.
No.
No, that's not what that's not what this verse is saying. It's not what it's saying. He said, okay, you done messed up, you done stumbled, you done tripped. Okay, I'm gonna help you up. I'm still going to help you up, but you still got to be chastised for it. Okay? All right? So let's understand that. So that's why that's what he's saying, that in everything you do, yes, okay, Lord, I messed up. I stumbled. I did this. Now, that's your repentant heart. That because you are saved. There are some people who say, ain't never apologize, ain't nothing. Well, they have to check and see if they got what they think they had to begin with. But that's a whole different lesson for maybe another time. So that's the one of the things we need to look at in this verse, in this mess. Secondly, as I can't remember which one of y'all pointed it out, and I was so good, I'm glad to hear it, to in all things God works for the good to them that love God. One of y'all emphasized the love. I can't remember which one it
I
was.
said that.
Yes, to them that love God. Now, don't take this little portion lightly. See, loving, saying that you love God means more than just saying it. It means more
You're gonna
than lip
act it.
service. Okay? God requires more. Did you know that? You can't just go to God and say, I love you. We have to go, I love the Lord. I love him. Well, God said, but
You gotta show it. You
where's
gotta
the.
show it. Live it.
Now, but when, Pastor, if I want to intervene, what I was talking about earlier and before we started, if you still gonna love God when you're going through, you're going through. See, that's the thing. We can say, yeah, we love the Lord, we love the Lord, but when the Lord give and the Lord, and when you lose everything just like that, are you still gonna love the Lord? You know what I'm saying? And that's where your love is being tested for those who love
Yeah,
you.
I agree.
That power of
Your
love, but
strength.
you will be tested. You will be tested, and the Lord give and the Lord take it away. And on any given day, you can lose everything just like that. Are you still gonna love the Lord? Yeah, just like that. You're
That's
going to be tested.
the test.
Yeah, dig them
That's
most,
the
yes.
test.
Thank you, Deacon Poole, for that analogy. I would imagine that each everyone on this Zoom has had a devastating account in our life, no matter what it was. It could be a loss of a close loved one. It could be a procedure we had to get done medically. It could be something ongoing financial, whatever it is, it was devastating. But as proof of us enduring it, we're here today. And I said the same thing. None of us said, well, Lord, you did this to me. I'm giving up my belief in you. None of us said that. Yes, as a human, we all probably was upset with God in one way or another. Sure. Sure. But we're not going to cuss him out. We're not going to say, Lord, you ain't blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but we was angry because we don't understand his way. We don't understand his thought. But he told us that. So much higher are my ways than yours. My thoughts are not yours. My ways are not yours. It's so much higher. He said, the wisdom of man is foolishness to me. I gave him little knowledge he got. What are you coming to me with? But that's it.
Okay.
That's powerful. That's powerful. I like that, D.
And see, and also along with this, when we talk about love, like I said, remember even what Jesus said to Peter. Three times he asked him, didn't he?
Oh, yes,
If you
yes.
love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep to teach them. That's what he's trying to tell you, telling us to do. If you love me, show do this. You see what I'm saying? You can't just say you love me. If you love me, do this. Here's the action I want you to do. Here's what I
Yes,
want you
yes.
to do. The love requires an action.
Action, action.
It requires an action. Okay? He said,
Good point.
and he also says to us, even in what John 14, if you love me, keep my
My
commands.
commandment, John 14.
Keep my commands. So
Wow.
when he
Commands.
says, okay, to them that love God, you better understand what he's saying to you. Are you keeping his commands? Okay. Are you doing what he told you to do? Are you teaching his sheep? Are you teaching those, what do you mean his sheep and his lambs? Are you teaching those baby, what we call baby Christians, those young ones, not just little children, but are you teaching those who are young in the Lord, those who are coming up, stumbling as they trying to, gain strength to stand strong in the Lord? Are you teaching them? Are you doing like he told Peter? Are you going back and restoring them? Are you doing these things? This is the challenge. And this, if you love me, do this. And along with other things that the Lord has commanded us to do. So again, okay, the things we're talking about, he says, he's talking about, okay, for the good, God works in all these things, one, to them that love God. That's two things we pointed out. But look at the third thing. To them who are the called. To them who are the called. Now, again, don't go past this. What does he mean by them who are the called? Anybody, I know somebody's burning up. I can almost feel somebody want to say something about this here. What does he mean by the called? Before I go any further.
The
What do y'all
call.
think he's talking about here?
Who he
Who do
said?
y'all think he's talking about? You're muted, Deacon Smith, if you're talking.
No, I apologize. I said I didn't hear your question. You said.
No, I didn't raise a question. I remember I said that there are at least four things in this
Yes, you
verse.
did.
We talked about what he talked about in all things, working for the good. We brought that out. Secondly, we talked about to them that love God. We were speaking on that. Then thirdly, he says to them who are the called. And I said, before I go any further with this, can y'all, who can tell me what he means? Well, those who are the called.
Who are the
Hey,
call?
Deacon Smith, I think Deacon Moses was going to say, but go ahead, Deacon Smith.
I can
Yeah,
go
go
after
ahead,
Deacon
Deacon.
Smith. I saw Deacon
No,
Moses.
go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, not to get out the verse, but if you go to verse 9, it said for God, it said for those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So those are the people we're talking about. Those of us. It says that he might be the first. All right, we ain't getting all that, but it's us. It's us, the believers.
Number nine.
I mean. Anybody
Okay.
else? Digga Mose?
Well, it's gonna. I would go a little bit further. I wouldn't.
Go ahead.
I don't like being vague, saying Christians or believers and stuff. I would go to the point of saying those who are called as being those that are sincere.
You gotta make that plainer for us. Make that a little bit plainer.
Okay. Besides even this chapter, it says those who are called, God have anointed. Those who
Okay.
are called, God has appointed. When you're called to a mission, when you're called to a service for the Lord, then you're doing that service. Whoever it is, you can be child, adult, senior. If you're called by God to do any
I
service,
see you, Dickie Smith.
you're going to be doing it. Now, a lot of people diffract from getting into specific because they don't understand, number one, judging. And it's not a judgmental thing, because judging in the Bible, when it reads that, is prejudging, really. It's not judging. That's why I can say what I say, because you have to understand what judging means, number one. All right, number two, if you're called by God, you're sincere. Look at the disciples. They were casting out demons. They were sincere.
I'm
God
going to ask
appointed
somebody to
you.
mute themselves. I don't want to have to mute everybody.
Well, that's the example I would give. The disciples themselves. When God called them, he said, come unto me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. They was anointed. When they got anointed, now they was appointed. When they was appointed, they had power from God to do whatever was needed to accomplish their calling. And that's where I'm at with that.
All right, Dick Smith, yes.
And this is not a rebuttal, but I think like when we say Christians, like I'm not going into specifics on judging a person's who's sincere, who's not. I'm talking about true believers here, you know. And then it says a called according to his purpose. So here's the thing: Scripture says in Romans, I mean, in Ephesians 2:8, it says we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So anybody who's been truly in Christ doing the work, this is who he's talking to. Again, he says, for you were predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. This is not for anybody to just call himself a believer. This is for people who are true believers. So if I'm going to say Christians, I'm not getting into semantics and trying to, go into a person's worth, as a believer and stuff like that. I'm just going into, hey, if you're a believer, we were created in Christ Jesus to do his work. So again, like you said, like just being a part of certain relationships, I'm just talking regular humanity now, it's things that come along with that. So when I'm a believer, the things that come along with that is being stamped or sealed with the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. All these things come along with that to help you accomplish his bidding for, to accomplish God's bidding. So as I was just saying that, yeah, I just gave a quick answer, but I was under the impression, just like Paul said, for we know, I was under the impression that we knew what a believer was about. I was
Oh,
under that same
okay.
type of guise that, like, that we had the background knowledge on what the believer was and what our functions are.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
I saw another hand. I
That
think
was
that was
me.
Beachy, yeah.
Yes, thank you. But on the lines of Deacon Mo, Deacon Ron, good stuff. I thank everybody for the information. I was going to say something on the line, not in depth as y'all two gave, of course, but if God have called whoever God called, he's going to prepare you for your deed. Whoever he calls, he's going to prepare you. You're going to have all you need to do. You're not going to stumble. You're not going to fall. He prepared you. He called you. He called you. So you're going to get the job done.
Well, I yes, yeah, I agree with
He's by
that.
your side. He called you. He got you. Sort of breaking it
Yes,
down.
yeah, I agree with that, and I think we're emphasizing two types of callings here.
Uh-oh.
We talk,
Uh-oh.
yeah, no, I have a problem. We're talking about those. You're talking emphasizing those who are saved, and he's called for a
Specific duty.
a duty. I'll use that term.
Okay.
But I believe the text here is talking about, as Deacon Moses and Deacon Laron emphasize, those who are saved, those who are believers. That's who he's talking to. Now, I want to read something here to y'all. Y'all tell me what y'all think about this. We know that we have what is commonly called the Our Father prayer, but Jesus prayer. But I like to, you know me, I've said this before. I'm always looking at John 17 as the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
I love that. And I
John
like what he says
17.
in it. I want to read this to y'all, not to insult anybody. This is from John 17 at the sixth verse. Now watch this. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Now this is Jesus talking with his Father. Okay? I revealed to you those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Now watch this. Don't miss this. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are ours.
Mercy.
My Lord, have mercy. Now, Deacon Smith also emphasized, I separated them on purpose to make, when I say there's four emphases, but they do go together. Well, they all go together. It's all one verse. But I separated them on purpose when I said to them who are the called, but it also goes according to his purpose.
His
This is the key.
purpose.
And I did that because I'm going to emphasize this. But going back it up one more time, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Why I brought this particular passage out is because just like Deacon Smith and Deacon Mo said, he's talking to, I see you, Deacon Smith, I'll get to you in a minute. He is talking to believers, those who are saved, okay? And whether he's talking to them then or talking to us now, okay? We need to understand that we have a calling. Now, don't ever believe, and I hope nobody's been disillusioned to think that when you came to the Lord, whenever that happened for you, that you did that completely on your own volition. I hope nobody thinks that. I hope nobody, didn't think that you got that nudge, that unction from the Holy Spirit to even receive. Whether it was coming from somebody's preaching, somebody's teaching, somebody's witnessing, somebody, whatever way they watered, I mean, they planted that seed or watered it, and you received it because you didn't have to. You didn't have to. No, the Lord did not call you to be saved. Like I said, it gets a little not murky, but you really got to stay with this to understand this. Okay? It's just like, y'all been in school or been somewhere, and your buddy will probably nudge you. Go ahead, man. Go ahead and say what you want to say. Nothing. Try to picture that as the Holy Spirit. Okay, you hear that? What you gonna do with it? What you gonna see? Not telling you to go. He didn't tell you to go and accept me. He said, "Well, what you gonna do with what you heard? What you gonna do with this? What that nudging, that unction that comes from the Holy Spirit? But like I said, that it gets to be that deep. Key thing." For those who are called according to his purpose. Now, we can go deep into that if you want to. If you don't know anything else to say, well, what is his purpose? Hey, just go to the Great Commission. That's the one thing every believer has been commissioned and commanded to do. Deacon Smith, that was your hand, right? I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's all good. You explained it. I just said, I actually love that chapter two, Jesus was talking, but so many times, when I hear people say it, I mean, they say, I just feel like I don't want to take away from the lesson, but I can talk about it with you later. No, it was just about when he said, I pray for the world, I pray for them, not the world. I think some people think that's a permanent thing. I just feel like right now, that was a right now. Like if I'm talking to you and I say, our family got to get it together, man, you know what? We're going to lift up our family in prayer. I'm not praying for anybody on. Outside, I'm just praying for our family right now. And I think like that's I think it was a right now thing that he was doing, but like because that was an intimate time he was having with the Father. And I don't think that should be all the time because there's a time I'm praying for people in the world. I need to. That's how else they're going to get converted. You know,
Sure.
and you
And,
know.
I believe you're completely correct with that. Because he came to do what? What did Jesus come here for? What did
See,
he come here to do?
to save
save
everybody.
souls, man.
So that's consistent with what he said he came here to do.
Yeah.
It would be a problem if he said, "Oh, I got those that you gave me, Lord, and I'm done now. I'm done seeking them." No, that would not be, it would be a problem with that. So what you're saying is, yeah, I believe is right on point. Right on point. Yes. You know, like we said, according to his purpose. That's see, you see how all of this is like a glove, how all of this fits together. See, a lot of times we look at one part of that verse. What I've heard a lot of people say, okay, all things work together for good. Oh yeah, I did this here, I messed up, yeah, but it's gonna work together for good. You got to be sure what you're talking about, what it is, and what it is you're talking about. Oh I went on and I did something. I don't even want to be emphasizing, but I know the Lord's gonna work it all out. You make sure your teaching is correct. Like I said, we got to know what you're talking about and everything involved. Because I don't believe that everything fits everything. Okay, you know, not every verse is like a penicillin. You know, it's not good for everything. At one time, that was the miracle cure. Well, you know, way before, you know, y'all were born, some of y'all were born, even myself, it did everything, but it didn't do everything because I can speak for two people at least. Both my mother and my father both were allergic to it. Couldn't take it. So it didn't work for everybody. You know,
Me
it did a lot
too.
of good for a lot of people.
Me
But
too.
everyone that did, there was no, it didn't cure all. Okay, but this verse, this is what I want to look into as we look deeper into this verse and understand. Now you're saying to yourself, some of you, well, I knew this and I understood this, but I always say, remember those who do not. And this is part of the reason why we are here. Always remembering that yes, there are babes in the Lord. There are children in the Lord. Okay, there are those who just came to the Lord and they're learning. They're learning. You see them as they stumble. Just like you watch that baby. When that baby start walking and not steady, and so you know good and well that the way they're doing it, they're gonna fall. But you also know that they have to fall, not just so they can fall, but so they can get back up. So they can get up. Okay? You need now. You just try to make sure that they don't fall and step around so that they don't hurt themselves. They don't bust their head against or something. Well, you do the same thing with believers. Now you know this person is they kind of rambunctious, they eager, and you say, "Whoa, that kind of eagerness, they might rush into something they shouldn't." Well, you're keeping an eye on them, and when the Lord put you in position, you see them get ready to rush into something they got no business going into. They're getting ready to go into deep water, but they just learned how to swim. They don't need to go that far deep. Maybe you can pull their coat. You're there to pull their coat back a little bit. Wait a minute. You're getting ready to get into a Bible discussion that you're not really prepared to discuss with somebody. Okay? You know, and we've all done that. We've all done that from time to time and may do it again. You know, when we start getting into something new, we really, really not sure about it, not know about it. And then sometimes we get into discussion with others and we think we know. Now we done jumped into it, didn't ask the Lord nothing about it, didn't even whisper a word to the Lord, guide me, Lord, direct me. You know you got a lot of scripture in you. Lord, bring out what I need for this particular case, for this discussion. I ain't gotta say, wait a minute, stop. Tell the person I'm talking to while I turn around, face east, get on my knees, talk to the Lord for 20 minutes, and then come back. Okay, what are we talking? No, I don't have to do all of that. You know? But I do need the Lord to direct what I'm saying. You know, you have me reading your word. I see you thinking about it, I'll get you in a second. You have me reading your word, and I do that. So bring out that which you have already put into me. Go ahead, Digamos.
No. You're absolutely right, Pastor. But I want to do the reverse of what you just said. One time I was at Unity, and me and Ron, matter of fact, was there, Deacon Ron, and who was outside talking about something, and We was talking, having a good conversation, and this woman came up and bumped into me. She was a very fine woman, and she bumped into me, and I said, "Excuse me," because I didn't bump into her. She said, "You don't know who I am." I was like, "Oh, mercy, Lord! I hope I ain't do nothing bad." I said, "No, miss, I'm sorry." She said she put in her pocketbook. Now I know she's gonna get a knife or a gun, but she went in the pocketbook and she pulled out a Bible. She said, "You gave me this 3 years ago." I was like, "Oh, okay, bless you, my child." So I was cool. But that's the
Oh,
prayer. When
man.
we doing what the Lord has sent us to do, share His word, profess
Yes.
His word. The Bible says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, you will find it. After many days, it will return to you." Whatever version it is, that's important. I can't tell y'all how many times me and Audie been out in the street, and a little child come up to me, "Hey, Mr. Crossing Guard, you don't remember me?" I'll be like, "Oh man, this little fella. Hey, buddy." And it's good when we
Yes, it
plant
is.
seeds of love. It means a lot.
It
It
does.
means, I can't explain that to y'all enough. You don't want, listen to me, I'm gonna tell y'all this. It's for a reason. You don't want to wait till trouble hit your house to go out on the picket line. It's too
Okay.
late then. You don't got hit. You don't got hit. Go out before it comes. Then that way you avoid it. What the Bible say? Avoid the very appearance of evil. Avoid it. 1,000 gonna fall on your left, 10,000 on your right, but it won't come nigh thy dwelling. Go ahead, Pastor. I can't see.
Hey,
That
you had something there. That was a good one. That was a good one. You
was
all heard some money too, Deacon Moses.
a
Yes. Go ahead,
That was
Deacon.
good. That was a good one. That
Deacon
was. I was
Ronnie,
just
do you
giving
remember
thumbs
that?
up.
I
Oh,
was giving
okay.
Matthew some money.
Okay.
I vaguely remember that. I do vaguely remember that story.
That was a good one. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was good. That was good.
So what I want to emphasize here before, we close out is this verse, okay? This verse, this 8:28. Do you understand now why I say so many people misunderstand this verse?
Yes,
Yeah.
I do.
I'm not saying what they're pulling from it is wrong. It's just not, I think as Deacon Moses said earlier, it's just not all of it. It's like,
Okay.
okay, you got a plate of food and all you eat is the string beans on it. You left the potatoes, you left the meat, you left the greens, you left all the other good stuff. What you took was okay, but it's more on that plate. It's
It's
more
not.
on there.
Yes,
You
not
know?
totally accurate.
You know? Yes. And with this Romans 8:28, we hear people say we know all things work together for good. But what about the rest of it? What about those two, for those who love God, for those who call according to His purpose?
His purpose.
His purpose. Now you must include all of that along with understanding first what he mean by all things working together. That don't mean everything that you're doing. Like we said, well, y'all said, what we said earlier. You have to understand that. Now, once you understand that, what he means when he says all things working together, now look at the rest of the criteria. Okay? Those that love God, those who are called according to his purpose. A lot of times we leave that out. We just automatically assume that, okay, I love the Lord. Well, y'all know what we've said already. I love him. He's my God, and everything I do is. And this is a fallacy of many. Everything I do is going to work out anyway because I'm saved. Is that dangerous? Is that a
Very dangerous.
dangerous assumption? And you say, well, we know better than that. Yes, like we say, yes, we do. Yes, you do. Maybe you're seasoned enough. You understand that. But I can't emphasize it enough, and I don't want to keep harping on it, but I feel like I must. Everything that we look at, every scripture that we, excuse me, that we look into, that we seeking the wisdom and understanding from the Lord for, You say, I knew that. I understood that. Good. Now go carry it to someone else.
Yes.
Every message you hear somebody preach, maybe that particular message on that particular time is not for you, but directly, but for you to hear it so that you can go to share a portion of it as much as you need to someone else.
Okay.
Never forget what our purpose is. Okay, to go out and teach all those that the Lord has commanded, to do what the Lord has commanded us to do. Don't we forget what we've been commissioned and commanded to do. Always, always. Don't forget that, yes, we are in this war to do what? To sit there and stand there, twiddle our thumbs? The Lord ain't give me this armor to do that. I got to fight. Now, you can stand there if you want to, okay, and be bombarded with all these attacks that Satan is going to do. Mm. He's going to do it. We've seen Deacon Poole and others have given us examples of how he attacks some of the saints. He began even with Job. We are under attack, beloved. I don't care what doctors say. I don't care what the worldview is. I don't care any of that. We who believe God, we who believe the word of God, realize that a lot of our attacks are spiritual. They may be used from somebody, from some person to do something physically toward us, but we know the source of it. Do not take it for granted, beloved. Do not. Do not take it for granted. You are in this fight. From the time, from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep. But sometimes we go fighting in our sleep. You know, sometimes I see you dig a pool, you know. So we need to understand this. And this is 24/7, 365 days a year. Don't ever think because you're having a good day, everything seems to be going smoothly. Oh, whew, this fight is over. Oh, devil said, oh, now you done took your guard down. Bam, here it come. 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, whatever. He just been waiting for you to lower your guard. It's a constant fight, beloved. Okay, a constant fight. Any comments? Any more comments? Or what's your hand up, Deacon Poole? I'm sorry. Oh.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I always just put my hand up in agreement, but what I was saying earlier, when you say constant fight, and I'm throwing punches and all that, and you said we constantly being attacked, our spiritual warfare is really up here. But I was saying the analogy of a boxer, and that's what we are. We have to stay in shape with God's word because we constantly in battle and fight constantly against the enemy with his lies, deceit, and deception. But you know, wherever attack come from, you feel like you're a boxer in the ring. And just don't ring that bell. Just keep going, and keep going. Mm. And the way you broke it down, Pastor, is very good. It's very good, you know. And like you say, share what you have. Whatever you have, and like I was sharing with you, my favorite one I share with a lot of people is the Brother Job's test. Mm-hmm. And no, it's just don't keep it to yourself because people going to need that sharing the power of God's word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else? Any comments, questions? Are we good?
Yes. Thank you.
Now, beloved, we don't do this often. We have to pass the plate. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff that went forth tonight. And beloved, we need to bless. We need to bless the word.
That's why I can't share right now. It's money.
we do take cash app. Things of that mercy. Nature.
I let Deacon LaRon take care of that for me.
My financer.
He's gonna let you take care
of my finances. He take care of my finances.
Praise God, praise God. You know, we can't listen. We can't enjoy each other down there. It's just a shame. I mean, I enjoy being, being able to fellowship with the brethren. Okay, if there's no more comments or questions or what all, somebody want to close us out? I'm sorry, Pastor Tyler, I'm glad to see you. If you'd like to have a word, you're welcome.
No, I'm just enjoying.
Okay.
When you said pass the plate, I was wondering who do you want me to pass it to?
My. Don't keep it yourself. You ain't saying nothing.
I'm more than willing to pass the plate.
My.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir. Good laughter for tonight.
Yes, sir. So anybody want to close us out in prayer?
Yes, sir, if I may. God, my Father, thank you for this powerful, powerful message that you present to us through us sharing with each other, everyone here tonight. Our faith in your word, the power of your word. We trust in your word, God, my Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church say,
amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
All right, y'all.
All right.